2 Timothy chapter number 1, there's a lot of mothers in the Bible. In fact, it'd do you well to look in the scriptures at those mothers. There's a lot of them. And of course, some of them are good examples, and some of them are not so good examples. But I think we can learn from all of them. The good examples is they've set a pattern, a trail, a path that you can follow. The bad examples is you can learn, don't do it that way. Don't do what they did. Because what they did had consequences, and if you do the same, it'll have consequences. Those in the Bible that lays a good example, and we're going to read about one this morning, those that lays out a good example, like Timothy's mother, Eunice, that says, look at her life and do as she did. Do as she did. Don't expect a Timothy if you're not willing to be a Eunice. In fact, a lot of mothers really don't want to be a Eunice because they really don't want a Timothy. It's not real big to them to have a spiritual young son or a spiritual daughter. They want their child healthy, which all of us do. They want their child healthy, but they give very little desire to wanting them to be spiritual. Amen. They want them to be successful, and I think that's a good desire for a mother to have. Want your children to be successful in life. Want them to make good grades. Want them to excel in areas of life. You should want that. That's commendable. But a lot of mothers want their children to be successful, but do very little praying about them getting saved. Right. Amen. They want them to get saved in that it's a thought and they want it, but how much do they desire it? Do they want it and desire it strong enough to where they really, really spend a lot of time praying over their children? And I've told several, and maybe I've told some even here, in the hospital room when the baby was born or shortly after that, I pointed out that little newborn in their arms. I said, the devil is after that baby. And I said, and God is after that baby. And I said, it'll be up to y'all who gets him. Amen. A lot of the responsibility goes on the parents, and the mother is more of hands-on raising that child. Amen. You know that's right. And that's the way it always has been or needs to be. They're qualified. If men had to have babies, we wouldn't have any. Right. We would have had one, and we would have killed it soon. Amen. Thank God for mothers and their patience. Amen. In fact, what you ought to do if your mother's here this morning, or you can call them on the phone, you ought to hug their neck or call them on the phone and tell them you love them, appreciate them, buy them something just over the fact they hadn't killed you already. Just over that one thing right there that God has blessed them to not kill you. Miss June's raising her hand. So all of the McCarrickerites, you better be thankful that you're even on the church pew. And probably some of them thought that she was going to kill them at times. Amen. I thought that a few times myself. But I lived through it. And I was certainly appreciative to the correction that I got in life. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, know this, it's Paul talking. He's talking about Timothy being his son. He wasn't his physical son, he was his spiritual son. And he references Timothy being his son more than once. And I believe that's identifying the fact that I believe Paul won Timothy to the Lord. But I don't believe Paul would have ever won Timothy to the Lord if it hadn't been for Timothy's mother. She was greatly instrumental in Paul's ministry. Are y'all listening? Right. Eunice was involved in Paul's ministry. But no wonder Paul won her son to the Lord, because she was involved in his ministry, his second missionary journey, and on and on. And he knew her well. He esteemed her high in the Lord, as we'll read here in a moment. And she had great admiration and great respect for Paul. And it's no wonder that Paul won her boy to the Lord. Amen. May God help us. Let me give you this. I know you need to be standing for a minute anyway. You've been seated a while. A lady came to Brother Larry Raines one time and said, I want you to pray for my son. And he was away, on up in years. He said, I want you to pray for my son that he'll get saved. Brother Raines said, I'll do more than that. I'll pray, but I'll go see him. Give me his address. Tell me where he lives. And I'll go see him. She said, no, preacher, that won't work. It won't do you no good to go see him. He said, why? He said, why not? She said, because I've run you down in front of him in the past. I've dogged you and run you down like a dog in his presence and to him. And he has zero confidence in you and zero respect for you. And never met him. Don't know anything about, wouldn't know if he seen him. You better be careful what you say about a man of God, because that might be the one that God is wanting to use to save your children or lead them to the Lord and to train them up in the way that they should go. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul's telling Timothy, you have made a mark on my memory, and I remember and pray for you night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, verse 4, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. God's man said when he thinks about Timothy, there's joy comes in his heart. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Father, we ask you today in Jesus' name that God, you'll help us today. Oh, we so desperately need the touch of God. Lord, without you I can do nothing, and I know that. But I know that with you I can do all things. Lord, I pray that God, you'd speak to us today. Challenge, bless the mothers today from the Word of God. Bring to my attention everything I need to see and say. And Lord, we'll be careful, Lord, to give you thanks for and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to look this morning in the message. I want to deal with Eunice and talk about her for just a little bit. Someone said about, I don't know how they come to this conclusion, but they said that by the time a child reaches 18 years old, a mother has invested some 18,000 child-generated work hours in that child. Can I get a witness from the moms right there? 18 years old. 18 years, 18, that's 1,000 hours a year given to work, child work-related involvement. A father one time was trying to explain marriage to his 4-year-old daughter. And he thought the best way to do that would he'd get the wedding album down, and he started showing pictures. And he tried to explain everything that was going on and what wedding is and all that. And the little 4-year-old daughter stopped and said, Daddy? And he pointed to the picture where Mama was there. And he said, she said, Daddy, is that when Mama come to work for us? Hey, yeah, that's right. Is that when Mama come to work for us? Amen. Someone said, I believe it's an old Spanish proverb, said an ounce of mother is worth more than a pound of clergy. In other words, a mother can do more than a preacher can. That's right. Amen. Boy, we need a revival of motherhood. Someone asked Napoleon Bonaparte, I'll get it out in a minute, what was the greatest need of France? And you would have thanked him, being the military man that he was, and the leader that he was, you'd have thought he would have said, we need a greater military. We need greater generals. France needs greater this and greater that. And he could have mentioned 100 things. But without hesitation, Brother Carroll, Napoleon Bonaparte responded when the question was asked, what is the greatest need that France has? And he said, mothers. What about that? Mothers. That carries a lot of weight right there, I think, don't you? No doubt about that. Someone said a mother holds the greatest responsibilities in the home, said she has to be a psychologist. She has to be a drill instructor. She has to be a nurse, a laborer and management negotiator, a teacher, electrician, plumber, and carpenter, and house cleaner, and the list is endless. A lot to do, but her pay's little. I would give you that, but I'm not going to. Someone said if you equate all of that she does and put it into hourly wages, it would be several hundred dollars a week. And I don't want to mention that because I'm sure the mothers that have their hand out to daddy saying, all right, you heard the preacher, I'm worth this much per hour and per week, so I'm expecting that. Amen. I'm trying to help you out, moms. Amen. I'm trying to make you have a good day. Look good anyway, amen. One little boy was in bed. I'm just telling a few things to get us started. Little boy was in bed at one night, and it was storming outside, and Mama was tucking him in, and he said, Mom, I'm scared. I want you to sleep with me tonight, little boy said. And Mom said, I can't, son, tucking him in. I got to sleep with Daddy tonight. And little boy went, that big sissy. Say amen, man. That's about right, ain't it? That big sissy. Oh, Lord, help us. But as we look at Eunice tonight, this morning, I don't know why I keep saying tonight. Most of us have heard of her. Most of you have heard of her. One of the most outstanding mothers because she had an outstanding mother. Lois was known also for her unfeigned faith. She was a godly woman, and then Eunice was a godly woman. I read this week where someone said the daughter of a godly mother will likely be the mother of a godly daughter. Lois, I don't know anything past her life. I don't know who her parents were and their parents. I don't know anything about them, but we know that Lois was a godly woman and trained Eunice and raised her up to be a godly person. And as a result, Eunice influences Timothy. Actually, both of them influences Timothy. Grandparents, as well as parents, have responsibility to influence the children and grandchildren for the Lord. I watched Miss Betty this morning as she had little Sydney this morning, opening Sunday school, and she was in, little Sydney was in the flesh. And Brother Trav couldn't do much with her. And anyway, I noticed the grandmother. I noticed what the grandmother did. She tried there for a moment to pacify little Sydney, but it didn't work. So guess what she did? I noticed that. That's why they call them grandchildren. You can hand them back. When they start pitching a fit, you can hand them back over. Amen. Miss Chantel's looking at you, Miss Patsy. Is that true? You can just hand them back. See ya. See you next time. Don't forget to call Grandma next week. Amen. I'm going to get off this foolishness. Amen. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 talks about that same unfeigned faith that was in Lois and Eunice was also, Paul said, I'm persuaded, was in you, Timothy. It's in you. And I know and you know that faith is not inherited. I know that. That's not what Paul is teaching. That it was in Lois and Eunice and then Timothy. Just passed on, you know, like you would an heirloom. It's not inherited. But I do believe this, that it comes through influence. Right. I want it because I've been influenced by others who have it. But of all the things that is lifted out of Eunice's life that could be bragged about, that could be talked about, that could be exemplified, the one thing that Paul lifts out was faith. Did you notice that? I mean, Paul knew these people. He knew them. He knew Timothy. He knew his mama. He knew her mother, Lois. He knew them. He could have talked about a lot of things, possibly their charity. He could probably talked about their character. He could probably talked about their behavior. He could have probably talked about a lot of things. But what was it that Paul lifted out to magnify in his address here? He talked about her faith. Amen. And that speaks volumes, don't it? That should say something to all of us as well as to mothers here today. Your faith ought to stand out in your life above everything in your life.
Right.
Your faith, when we're talking about your faith, we're talking about your spiritual life. We're talking about your spiritual life all the way from salvation, all the way through its maturity in your life. Your faith ought to be most evident. Your faith ought to be most manifest. Your faith ought to be paramount in your life. Your children or anybody else that talks about you, they should be able to talk about your faith being enormous and big and noticeable and visible and impressive. Ain't no doubt about it that Timothy wanted what his mama had. Does your children want what you've got? I'm talking about spiritually now. Do they look at your faith and they say, I wonder how many children, and don't respond. But I wonder how many children in this room could respond and be honest about it and say, I have a godly mother. Your children ought to have that in their mind. When they get old enough to know anything, they ought to know Mama's a Christian. Mama loves the Lord. Mama, the center of her life around which everything rotates is her spiritual life and her relationship to God. A lot of parents, their faith is just a part of their life. Their faith is just a sideline subject. But with Lois and her daughter Eunice, and also with Timothy, it wasn't a sideline subject. It was a superior subject. It was what ranked higher than anything. Amen.
Right.
And I thought that was worth noting about her faith. Let me give you some of these quotes about a mother that I've collected over the years. Reagan said this about his mother: From my mother, I learned the value of prayer. What about that? I learned to pray. I learned the value of prayer. I learned that prayer works. Where from? Preacher? No, mama. Amen. A praying mama is priceless. Amen. A Washington said, all I am, I owe to my mother. John Quincy Adams said, all that I am, my mother made me. Emerson said, men are what their mothers made them. Napoleon Bonaparte, as we've referenced earlier, said this: the future destiny of a child is the work of a mother. What a child will be, and I know the best you can do, there are times that a child goes astray, and I don't understand all that. But generally, if you will invest in them and influence them and be the example in them and raise them according to the principles of Scripture with a good attitude, they usually will fall right in your footsteps and go right with you. Amen. But he said that the future destiny of a child is the work of a mother. Another man by the name of Herbert said this: one good mother is worth 100 schoolmasters. Wasn't that good? Amen. Lincoln said this: no man is poor who has had a godly mother. D.L. Moody said this: all that I have ever accomplished in life, and how many of us have heard of D.L. Moody? How many of us have quoted him, referenced him, referred to him, have been blessed by his life, his messages, his sayings, things that he has done in his life? But here's what D.L. Moody said: all that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe it to my mother. What about that? Wouldn't you like to be in her shoes at the judgment seat of Christ and reap dividends off of her son, D.L. Moody? Another man, Shaftesbury, whoever that was, I just write their name down, give them honor because they said it. Quote, give me a generation of Christian mothers and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. What about that? We ought to send a bunch of, them to Washington. Not to run for office, but to run them out of office that's already there. But as you look through the scriptures, at the many different examples of godly men and godly women, oftentimes you find that behind them is a godly mother. I wrote down some of them. Behind Isaac in Genesis, behind Isaac you have Sarah. Behind Jacob you have Rebekah. Behind Joseph you have Rachel. Behind Moses you have Jochebed. Or Moses and Aaron and Miriam, you have Jochebed. Behind Jesus, you have Mary. Behind John the Baptist, you have Elizabeth. Behind Timothy, you have Eunice. Behind Eunice, you have Lois. Behind Samuel, you have Hannah. And the list can go on and on and on. Be what you want your child to become is a good statement this morning. Be what you want them to become, because it is likely that they are becoming what you are, good or bad. Amen. Amen. No telling how many people have went in the right way, the right direction, Brother Travis, because of a godly mother. And we're going to look at one, I believe, in the service this morning by the name of Eunice. I believe that Timothy, the great Timothy of the New Testament that was such a blessing to Paul and was mightily used of God. In fact, Timothy is the first and second Timothy is the first two books of what is known to be the pastoral epistles. So Timothy was a pastor, no doubt. But it all goes back to his mother and grandmother. Amen. But I wanted to say a few things this morning, then we'll do some other things in the service, baby dedication and so forth, and we have some cards to give out to mothers. Since her faith is so emphasized, let's look at that faith just for a few minutes this morning. The first thing that stands out, and I think that ought to be first in your life, I found out that number one, that she was saved. Her faith was, for lack of better terms, I'd call it her, she had a regenerated faith. She had a regenerated faith. She was saved. She was saved. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, that's the first thing of any importance right there. I mean, you can be a good mother. There's lost mothers that are good mothers. They care for their children. But you can't be a godly mother without being born again. And what good is a good mother if, listen, if you die lost without God and you miss heaven? What good is a good mother if you never tell your children about the Lord? Amen. But Eunice was a Christian. The Bible said in Acts 16, and I'll turn there and read it. Acts chapter 16 in verse number 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman. Didn't even name her here, but listen. The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and here's the biggest statement, and believed. He didn't even tell her name at that particular point, but he told this, she is a believer. She was saved. Moms, the greatest thing could ever be said about you is that you are a born again Christian. The greatest thing. And not only that it can be said about you because you claim it, you professed it, but that you also practice it. That you laid down a footprint and a pathway that your children has confidence in you As I said about my mother earlier, not only did she claim to be saved, but I have no doubt that I will meet her again on the other side in the sweet by and by. Why? Because I heard it out of her mouth and I saw it in her life that she did know the Lord. I wouldn't put much confidence in a profession of faith that didn't show up at your house. Hello. I wouldn't put a lot of confidence in a claim to be saved when your children don't even have confidence in it.
Right.
Amen. They hear it. They hear mama say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. But do they see it and do they have confidence in it? She was a believer right here in Acts 16 in verse number 1. She was a believer. And I want to ask you today, are you saved? Moms, are you saved? Amen. Will the family circle be broken in heaven because you leave this world without knowing Christ? Greatest thing in eternity is for you to be saved. It's more important than you being master mom, and more important for you, to have the admiration of your children in a lot of areas. Are you saved? Amen. Because you're going to leave here one of these days. I know that we don't like that, but that's a fact. You're going to leave here one of these days. My mom did. Her mom did. Her mom's moms did. They're all leaving here, and we're leaving here. And it'll be a blessing, brother, when you leave, sister, when you leave, that your children will be able to say, hey, I'm grieving that they're gone, but I will meet them again. I will see them again. Based on the facts of the Bible and their profession of faith and the fact that you're saved as well. So she was a believer. Amen. In fact, her being a believer is what enabled her, no doubt, in 2 Timothy chapter number, let me read it to you. In chapter number 3, here's what Paul said about Timothy's mama. Verse 14. But continue, he's talking to Timothy now, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where did you learn them? What did you learn, Timothy, that you should be assured of? You know they're right. You're not guessing about it. You have an assurance that they're right and that you've learned them and that you need to continue in them. Where did you learn them? Right here it says, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Who do you think did that? Paul came into Timothy's life later on in his life. Who do you think was teaching Paul the word, or teaching Timothy the word of God at an early age, even from a child? It was his mother, no doubt. I want to ask you, moms, are you teaching your children the Word of God? Amen. I'm not trying to shame you this morning, but I believe it would be a shame if you as a mother claim to be saved and don't know enough of the Scriptures and have enough confidence in it to read some of it to your child. Make them aware of it. Make them familiar with the stories of the Scripture. Amen. This Word of God is called the incorruptible seed. Isn't that right? The incorruptible seed. And you ought to be putting that seed in them. You ought to be exposing them to the seed of the Word of God. But anyway, she had a saved faith. She was regenerated according to Acts 16. Number two, I want to mention quickly that she had a resolved faith. The word resolved just simply means determined. Where do you get that at, preacher? Acts 16, verse number 1. I stopped reading that in that verse because I wanted to hold off on reading that last statement of verse 1. It said that Timothy's mother was a Jewish and believed she was a Christian. But then it said, but his father was a Greek. And it didn't say he believed. You say, preacher, what do you believe that's indicating? I believe that Timothy's daddy, at least at the point of Acts 16, verse 1, was a lost man. So you can just imagine where I get the word resolved. She had a resolved faith because she was living in a home where she was saved and the husband or her husband wasn't saved. Light and darkness in the home. No fellowship in the home. Amen. Eunice wanting to take Timothy to church, but Timothy's daddy may have bucked on that. And no, we're not going to do that. We've seen people here over the ministry since we've been here where the husband, lost man, fought and bucked up constantly against the wife and mother bringing the children to church. But she didn't let that stop her. You can tell what you got by what it takes to stop you. She didn't let that stop her, that she had complications in the home. And it's very likely that she married him before she even got saved. I don't know. I don't know that to be the fact. But I know this enough to tell the young people here this morning that you are inviting major heartache and trouble when you purposefully date someone, interested in someone, or even marry someone that is not saved. That is not showing, exhibiting that life that I am in fact a born-again Christian with a desire to serve God. Most boys and girls today don't look at that. That's not a part of the criteria. That's not a part of the conditions. Though as long as they're handsome, they got hair on their head, they wear shoes. You better know they're saved. And how clear is that, Brother Craig, in the Word of God? Lost people and saved people are not to have that type of relationship. Be a friend of them in the effort of wanting to win them to Christ, but to date them, to court them, to have any kind of romance feelings toward them or even contemplating marriage with them, and they're a lost person, you're going openly against the Word of God. Go ahead. Close your ears to the gospel truth about that. And I promise you there will be heartache in your future. Amen. Well, I didn't get too many amens right there. I'll say my own amens. That's right. I'll never marry a lost person and a saved person. Never. I've been asked to do that on numerous occasions, and I've turned it down every time. I will not have any dealings with that. Why? It violates the Scripture. It violates the Scripture. They're unequally yoked together. How could they possibly be yoked together? Well, I don't know all the details about Timothy's mother and Timothy's father. I don't know, but I know this. In this verse, he was a Greek and she was a Jewish. And she was a believer and he wasn't. Are you listening? And you know there had to be complications there. And we don't have any record in the Scripture that Timothy's daddy ever got saved that I'm aware of. If you know of any, be sure to let me know on that. I don't want to preach error, but I don't know that Timothy's daddy ever got saved. I don't know that. Amen. You say, preacher, how do you know also that there may have been complications in this relationship in the home? Well, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians, the Bible said that unto us, the preaching of the gospel is the power of God, but he said unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. And Timothy's daddy was a Greek. So in light of that verse, Brother Silas, it is possible that Timothy's daddy looked at to be foolish the very things that she embraced with her faith. So it was a regenerated faith she had. She was saved. It was a resolved faith. She had great determination that in spite of difficulty, in spite of opposition, in spite of complications, guess what? She stayed true to God and was highly admired and praised by the Apostle Paul in our text. Amen. You know what her name means? It's just worth noting. Means good victory. She was living in a bad situation. Husband was lost. She's trying to raise her child for Jesus, teach him the Word of God from his youth up, and all of that, but her name means good victory. She wasn't about to let the situation stop her or alter her. And then let me say, thirdly, she had a real faith, Brother Mark. Where do you get that at in our text? there in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, Paul calls it unfeigned faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also, unfeigned faith, a faith that is real, a faith that is sincere, a faith that is does not have hypocrisy in it.
Right.
Oh yeah. In fact, it is where we get a Greek word, hypocrite. It's translated hypocrite. They were unfeigned. They didn't feign themselves. They were unfeigned. They had unfeigned faith. A faith without hypocrisy. Amen? The word was used to describe the Greek actors in their role playing. That's what a hypocrite is. It's somebody that's role playing. They're presenting to you an image that they're not. They're saying what they're not. They're doing what they're not. Amen. They're not real. Well, Paul said, Timothy, your grandmother and your mother, and I'm persuaded in you as well, is a real faith. Well, I like that. That helps me right there. It speaks to my heart. Amen. But then let me mention quickly, and I've got to hurry because we've got some other things to do this morning. Not only is there a real faith I see in Eunice, but there's also a replicated faith. That is, faith that was in Lois was in Eunice, and what was in Eunice was in Timothy. I'm going to ask some others something right here on this point. What do you have spiritually in your life that you really do want in your children? Could you write on a piece of paper, could you write four or five things down on a piece of paper, spiritual qualities in your life, spiritual blessings in your life that you aspire and desire to have those in your children? Amen. I think that's good. Again, as I said earlier, don't expect your children to turn out with Timotheus type characteristics and spirituality if you're not willing to be a Eunice. If you're not willing to be a mother that has got a real faith that is being expressed, exhibited to your children. Amen. God help us. How many people's been saved because of their mother? My mother was instrumental in me getting saved. I mean, she didn't just influence me. I mean, she was hands-on. And I've told you my testimony in that regard. But she had, listen, Timothy's mom had a real faith. She had a resolved faith. She had a regenerated faith. She had a replicated faith. And by the way, true Christianity is contagious.
Right.
And I know that's elementary. That's a simple subject. That's a simple thought. But what do you have, moms, that your children want spiritually? Do they want your prayer life? Could one of your children be able to say, I'd love to pray like mama? Have they ever heard you pray? Have you ever prayed with them? Oh, it's getting thick right here now. Have you ever prayed with your children? Have you ever prayed for your children? Amen. And those should never take the place. Praying for them will never take the place of praying with them. Have they ever caught you praying? Moms, have they ever come in, slipped in, amen, quietly, and you didn't know they were there, and they slipped in, opened the door possibly, and you were kneeling down praying, spending time with God? Amen. It's quiet, but we're preaching.
Amen.
One of the greatest things you can ever do for your children is to pray for them. I'm talking about amen. I was talking to Brother Matthew Morgan the other day, Brother John Morgan's brother, and he said that he come home and his wife is Miss Rebecca, Brother Randy Bain's daughter, man, instrumental in me getting saved. Said he walked in the front door, and didn't hear no commotion in the house, didn't hear anything in the house going on, and said he walked through the house and said, there sat Miss Rebecca on the couch, had her arms around all of their children, and was weeping over them as she prayed for them. She was so hooked up praying for her children, she didn't even hear him come in. She didn't even know he was in the room. Didn't even know he was in the house. And there she was, like a mother hen, had their children right around her knees as she was weeping over them and praying for them. Them children won't ever forget that. They might forget mama cooked this and mama did that and mama did the other, but they won't forget that time that you dropped tears on their head as you prayed over their soul. Amen. Amen. That's good. I'm the result, no doubt, of a praying mother and a praying grandmother as well. But she had a real faith. She had a replicated faith. She had a rewarded faith. How was her faith rewarded? Every time she heard Timothy preach. When she saw Timothy buddying up with the Apostle Paul. When she saw God's man having great confidence in her son and was using him and influencing him and instructing him, no doubt mama swelled up thinking, thank God it does pay to serve the Lord. It does pay to be faithful. It does pay to pray and go with God in spite of circumstances. And she went with God and saw her son raise up. Man, wouldn't you like to be her? Wouldn't you like to be Eunice and reap the benefits off of Timothy? Reap the harvest and the fruit off of Timothy at the judgment seat of Christ? Amen. I want to ask the mothers here this morning, quickly, I want to ask you, does it bless you to see your child serving God? Or could I ask the opposite, does it bother you or burden you that your child isn't serving God? Are you listening? If you're not bothered by them not serving, you probably won't be blessed by them serving. Amen. But you'll never have a Timothy by accident. You'll never, listen, somebody, I don't have it all in front of me, but Susanna Wesley, they tell me, had 17 children. Of whom we only hear about two of them, and that's John and Charles Wesley. That literally turned continents upside down for the Lord. But they said that she spent 1 hour a day praying about nothing except her children. 1 hour every day, not 5 minutes, 1 hour praying about nothing or no one except for her children. And then she would take 1 hour a week with each one of her children and talking about spiritual things. What about that? It's no wonder a mother like that, that's that interested in exposing her sons and children to spiritual things. It's no wonder that she had two that literally went across this world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus, John and Charles Wesley. It's a rewarding faith. Amen. I mean, God uses the men, and we'll cover that on Father's Day. But I'm telling you, the influence of a mother is unparalleled in the home. Amen. Someone said that the dad is the head of the home, the mother is the heart of the home, and the children are the hope of the home. Amen. I mean, you take that mother out of the home, that home is it's dim, isn't it? Oh my. And of course, mothers will be sure to remind us all of all this preaching this morning. But how about it, mothers? Can we talk about your faith? I know we used Eunice this morning, but could we use you? Could I preach tonight out of your life? Could I get your children aside after service and say, tell me something about your mothers, your mother. Tell me something about your mother. Tell me about her prayer life. Tell me about her reading the Bible. Tell us about maybe her singing in the kitchen, spiritual songs. Tell us, give me some spiritual thing, and that I could bring those points to the pulpit tonight and preach about you and make an example out of you for others to follow. Amen. Can you do that? Could I do that? Could your children tell me? Listen, I've had children over the years, and I'll generalize it like that. I've had children over the years tell me that if what mom and daddy's got is salvation, I don't want no part of it. I've had them to tell me that. I'm talking about church-going parents. Church-going parents. Over the years, I've had them to tell me that. You know what that means? That means that evidently mom and daddy's living a double standard at the house. They're one thing at church, but another thing at home. And whatever it is at home, they are, they've literally rotted out any confidence that the children has in salvation. You know? God help us. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name.